The topic of today's message is the blessing of obedience. Now, many things that we might discuss are very much like a door. They have two sides. If obedience comes with a blessing, what about disobedience? Might that have consequences also? I wonder what they might be. So let's see what we can learn from today's reading from the Torah. It is a very interesting place of scripture. It is very instructive and it's very deep, full of great lessons for us. So let's open Leviticus chapter 9 and let's read from first verse. Leviticus 9:1. Now it happened on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron, his sons, and the elders of Israel. Then he said to Aaron, take a calf from the herd for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering, both without blemish, and offer them before Adonai. Verse 22. And Aaron lifted up his hands, then Aaron lifted up his hands towards the people and blessed them. Then he stepped down from presenting the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the fellowship offering. Verse 23. Moses and Aaron then went into the tent of meeting. When they came back out of and blessed the people, the glory of Adonai appeared to all the people. Fire came out from the presence of Adonai and devoured the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. What a place of scripture. Fire came out of Adonai, from Adonai's presence, and burned up the offering. The people shouted and fell down before the Lord. Aaron obeyed the Lord and did everything according to his commandments. And it appears that there was a tremendous power in his obedience to the Lord. The word blessing comes from the word bracha in Hebrew, which has a rich content. Blessing means increasing or growing, even doubling the original. It means happiness, success, gift. Blessing can also mean spiritual prosperity, maturity, growth in knowledge of God and faith. When I think about blessing can be described as a natural body of water that is filled from a source of flowing waters. When we tell someone, the Lord bless you, we are covering that one with a layer of God's goodness and mercy, with the Lord's help and his grace. You recall that the actions of the Jewish people were continually a frustration to Moses, an annoyance to the Lord. One might assume that Aaron had every reason not to bless the people. How could one blame him for remembering all their mistakes and their sins, and for grumbling about them to the Lord? But even though the heart of the people has not yet changed, Aaron decided that he will still obey the Lord. So he delivers a blessing over the people of Israel. And you remember what was the result? Result was that Moses and the people saw a glorious presence in the tabernacle, the descent of the glory of God in response to the sacrifice made in obedience to the Lord. It was so wonderful, so important time. Because Aaron did exactly what the Lord had commanded, and the consequence was a spectacular visitation of the Lord. For us as well, when we are obedient to God, we will experience the blessing and the glory of God in our lives, in lives of our families, and in our ministry. Obedience to God promotes reward. But let's read from the next chapter. Well, it is the next chapter in our Bibles. But remember that when the Torah was written, they hadn't yet invented chapters. In Leviticus 10, we read how disobedience can also get Adonai all fired up. But for the disobedient, it may not go so well. So let's read chapter 10, Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1. And please remember, it was not chapters in the Torah, in the scroll. Leviticus chapter 10. Now Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, each took his own censer, put fire in it, laid incense over it, and offered unauthorized fire before Adonai, which he had not commanded them. So fire came out from the presence of Adonai and consumed the sacrifice. No, it consumed them. So they died before Adonai. Then Moses said to Aaron, "This is what Adonai spoke of, saying, 'To those who are near me, I will show myself holy. Upon the faces of all people, I will be glorified.'" Then Aaron kept silent. In the first case, the Lord descended on the altar and burned the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord came upon Mishkan, tent of meeting. In the second case, the fire fell on the priests and consumed them. In both cases, the Lord descended in glory and fire, and in both cases, he was glorified. It has occurred to me that in the absence of sacrifice, they became the sacrifice. They became the sacrifice. The same way, because of our sins and disobedience, the price must be paid for us, so we can be alive in the presence of God. And we know that Yeshua became our price, so we can be in presence of the Lord. There is a very significant question to be asked of ourselves after we read this place of scriptures. How can the Lord be glorified in my life? In what way? We know that the Bible calls him the consuming fire. He is the consuming fire. Isn't that pretty scary? Can you come to him with a sacrifice of obedience? Or will you forget the instructions and just get it all wrong? Will he descend in his glory on my sacrifice and glorify himself by blessing me? Will my spirits be all fired up by the Lord? Or will I just take a burn? Will my construction just go up in smoke? This is the question for all of us. I would like to read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. And I would like to start from verse 12. 1 Corinthians 3, 12. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed by fire. And the fire itself will test each one's work, what sort it is. If anyone's work built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but as through fire. It's interesting. It does not matter what material you are using today, because everything will be tested and will go through the fire of God. We won't escape it. Everyone's work will go through fire. You may not immediately suffer the same fate as the sons of Aaron, but you will still take a burn. So let's find what was the difference between the ministry of Aaron and the ministry of his sons Nadab and Abihu. Let's look at the difference between them. In the first case, you see Aaron did everything exactly as the Lord commanded him, all in due time, with the right sacrifices and with the fire taken from the altar on which the sacrifice were offered. He did everything in obedience to the Lord. That fire on the altar was a special fire, always attended by a priest and never allowed to die. It was the only fire which had an aroma pleasing to the Lord. The only fire, fire from the sacrificial altar. Here come Nadab and Abihu, three spirits who entered the tabernacle in a tipsy state, paying no attention to the Lord's directions, bearing a strange fire. Certainly, this was no way to approach Adonai. We know it from the scriptures. This is why the Lord had cautioned Aaron. Let's read Leviticus chapter 10, verse 8 and 9 and 10. It is about Nadab and Abihu. Adonai spoke to Aaron, saying, "Do not drink wine or fermented drink, neither you nor your sons with you, when you go into the tent of meeting, so that you do not die. This is to be a statute forever throughout your generations. You are to make a distinction between the holy and the common, and between the unclean and the clean." There are a few opinions among scholars about the exact nature of what happened there to cause the death of Nadab and Abihu, and I would like to share three of those. One is that it was of the result of drunkenness state with which verses 9 and 10 infers. Probably they were drunk and they decided to go straight to the Lord in this state. Another is that they entered without any sacrifice. In Leviticus 10, 18, the Lord warns Aaron and through Moses. Let's read Leviticus 10, 18. "Look, its blood was not brought into the inner part of the sanctuary. You certainly should have eaten it in the sanctuary, as I commanded." Still another is that perhaps even the sacrifice itself was not the one the Lord has specified. The sons of Aaron brought sacrifices that were wrong on every count, and the Lord was not happy with their sacrifice. We can read about it very obviously. And we can find that clearly faith, justification, forgiveness, redemption, they all depended on the altar, the fire, the sacrifice, and obedience to the commandments regarding the entire sacrificial process. Everything based upon the sacrifice. I would like to read a great example from the book of Isaiah, and let's open book of Isaiah chapter 6, starting with from verse 1. It is a great picture for all of us. "In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw Adonai sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Seraphim were standing above him. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. One called out to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh is Adonai Tzevaot. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" Verse 4. "Then the posts of the door trembled at the voice of those who called, and the house was filled with smoke," with the glory of the Lord. "Then I said, 'Oy to me,'" in Hebrew, "oy vey, "for I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I am dwelling among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King Adonai Tzevaot, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a glowing coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. He touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sins atoned for.'" What a great example for us. The purpose of the fire on the altar was to atone for a sin. So, of course, if the seraphim touch Isaiah's lips with a coal from the altar, that would have the same power to cleanse from sin. Let's look here. First of all, his iniquity was taken away. And the second, his sins was atoned for. The word iniquity means crime, lowliness, but also it means guilt and punishment. The Lord took away not only Isaiah's sins, but also punishment and guilt for his sins. The same with Yeshua. How can this lesson be applied to us today? How can we apply this lesson today for each one of us? And I would like to read from Hebrews chapter 10 and start it with verse 10. This is application. This is truth by which we can live today. Hebrews 10 from verse 10. By his will, we have been made holy through the offering of the body of Messiah Yeshua once for all. Not only sins, but also iniquities, also guilt, also punishment on Yeshua, on him. Verse 14. For by one offering he has perfected forever those been made holy. Mazel tov. We are forever made holy by the Lord himself. He has perfected by his own offering. Verse 15, the Ruach HaKodesh also testifies to us, for after saying, this is the covenant that I will cut with them. After those days, says Adonai, I will put my Torah upon their hearts, and upon their minds I will write it. Then he says, I will remember their sins and their lowliness, deeds no more. He didn't remember. He doesn't remember anything. These sins, he forgives, completely forgive us. Verse 18. Now whereas there is removal of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have boldness to enter into the holies by the blood of Yeshua. He inaugurated a new and living way for us throughout the curtain, that is his flesh. We also have a Kohen Gadol, high priest, over God's household. And verse 22, this is the heart of my message. So let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with hearts sprinkled clean from all evil conscience, and body washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the indwelling confession of hope, for he who promised is faithful. For he who promised is faithful. The only way to the Father is through Yeshua, the Son. And all our attempts to come to God by some other ways are doomed to failure. Remember that the Lord is the consuming fire. Remember that. Therefore, the lesson of Nadab and Abihu is an example for all of us that without the sacrifice of Yeshua the Messiah, there is no salvation and justification, but only the expectation of a judgment from God. And now let's look at some important lessons for us, believers in Yeshua the Messiah. What can we take from this story? How can we grow in faith through this story? Remember that Nadab and Abihu were priests, even as was Aaron. They all were called to serve in the tent of meeting. Please remember that. Why did Adonai reject the service of Nadab and Abihu? And why did they die? So I put a few interesting lessons for us, and I would like to look at it. The first, wrong motive in service to the Lord. Leviticus 9, verse 23, the glorious picture here. Moses and Aaron then went into the tent of meeting. When they came back out and blessed the people, The glory of Adonai appeared to all the people. Fire came out from the presence of Adonai and devoured the burnt offering and the fat of the on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. And let's remember, it was no dividing between chapters. Therefore, Nadab and Abihu also decided to present an offering to the Lord, so that the Lord would reveal his glory through them. In previous chapters of the Torah, we can find that Nadab and Abihu ate in the presence of the Lord on the mountain and lived. So they thought that the Lord is pleased with them and all will be fine because they are special to the Lord. In other words, they wanted God to come down and bless something that he had not instructed them to do. They wanted God to smile upon their plans and their ambitions. It was their desire. They chose not to listen to or follow God's words exactly, but to serve him in their own way, expecting God to show his glory on their own ideas. And from this story, we know it doesn't work that way. We cannot expect to serve the Lord by bringing our own ambitions to him, our own inclinations to his altar. He is alone who decides how he will be served. He is alone. James chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. And please, let us read carefully and let's be very careful when we read this place of scripture. James chapter 4, 1 through 7. Where do quarrels and conflicts among you come from? Don't they come from these? Namely, your passions that battle within your body parts. You crave and have not. You murder and you envy and yet cannot get it. You fight and you wage war. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so you may spend it on your passions. You adulteress, don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that in vain the scripture says, he yearns jealously over the spirit which he made to dwell in us? Spirit and flesh have always opposed each other. And at the moment when we repent of our sins, at the same moment, a deadly battle begins with us, within us, between, on one hand, our old selves, our habits, way of thinking, our old character, and on the other hand, a new person within us, a person born of the Holy Spirit of God. It is a constant fight every day in our life. To which side will you be true? Every day, in fact, moment by moment, we must make the decision in our lives. It was the first reason, I believe. The second reason, carelessness in serving God. In order for the priest to enter the sanctuary, it was necessary that they bring a certain sacrifice. And only then, having taken fire from the altar on which the sacrifice was offered, was it possible to enter the holy place, only with a sacrifice, special sacrifice. So Nadab and Abihu took someone else's fire, did not bring the intended sacrifice, and entered God's presence. They decided to take a shortcut to God. It was their decision to take a shortcut to God. Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 10. It is a very important place of scripture. Jeremiah 48, 10. Cursed is the one who does the work of Adonai with slackness. With slackness, to be interpreted as carelessly or casually. The faith in God. is a very serious thing. It is not just a sideline or a pastime diversion. The Lord requires our whole heart and our whole life. A believer's faith is full-time for a lifetime. It is our life to be a believer. Matthew 13, verse 44 through 46, it is very important place of Scripture, interesting place of Scripture. It is about us who believe in the Lord. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid. And because of his joy, he goes out and sells all he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. Upon finding a pearl of great value, he went out and sold all that he had and bought it. The kingdom of God is everything for us. It is our life. It is everything we want to. It is our life. Such a tremendous honor and privilege is ours. We who serve the Father and the Son with our whole lives, we are so favored and we hold such a great responsibility. And if you are a believer, then live like a believer. It is our responsibility. What you promised God, give Him with all your heart. The truth is that we are called to serve the Lord, to be His ambassadors to this dying world. And we can't escape this high calling by not doing our part. Please, allow the fire of God to burn on our hearts, in our hearts. Let His Spirit flow through your life and ministry to others. It is our life. And the third, the last one I would like to show, it is lack of faith in the heart. Truth is that faith is always built on relationships with the Lord. Faith, it is relationships. In Hebrews chapter 11, we can find verse 1 and verse 2 and 3. Now faith is a substance of this hoped for, of things hoped for, the evidence of realities not seen. For by it the elders received commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen did not come from anything visible. And verse 6. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For the one who comes to God must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Faith is the way through which the power of God is released in our person, in a person's life. To live by faith is to always rest in Yeshua, to always have confidence in God, to always depend on the leading of the Spirit. Faith is not something we can claim only because we know someone else who is faithful. It is something we live by every day, because we have made our own decision to live by faith. It is something which becomes alive in us, something we experience intimately because we have a personal relationship with the Savior. Nadab and Abihu thought that a blessing would come into their lives simply because they were the sons of Aaron and because they were priests. They supposed that being born into a family of priests meant that it was enough to perform some kind of religious ceremony. Surely the glory of the Lord would descend to validate their ministry. But they forgot one word, the word obedience. Faith has some conditions. Faith in God, in the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, as confirmed by Scripture. Faith of a humble heart resulting in a holy life of repentance. Faith built on the Word of God. Faith manifested in a life of prayer. Faith which establishes a scriptural worldview and directs our life. And if we read all chapter 11 to Hebrews, we can find that all chapter speaks about people who lived by faith. The scriptures take is clear to us that these were ordinary people like you and me, but they were distinguished from the rest of the people by the fact that they knew the Lord personally and understood the principles of faith, being obedient to God's word. And I want to end my message with one place of scripture. It is in Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Let it be as a blessing for us today. Let's read together. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. This is the way. This is the way to the Lord. They said, "Put your trust in the Lord Yeshua, and you will be saved, you and your household." Amen. In that, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider to be a blessing to Beth Israel. I will close with this with Aaron's blessing, as we normally do at Beth Israel. So let us pray together. Let us pray together. Yivrecha ha Adonai v'ishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panevelecha v'ichunecha. Yisa Adonai panevelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom. Shabbat shalom, mishpacha, and have a wonderful, blessed week, and see you tomorrow. Shabbat shalom.